you'll see that God never builds a case except on solid fact, and the foundation of your life must be factual if it's built on speculation or opinion or just something you've habitually done. It won't be solid enough to last through the storm. But if you want to win in court, whether human or divine, you have to build everything on solid facts. They have to be in your predicate, in your premise, in your foundation. If you don't have a good case, you'll mention a bunch of facts that are not basic. You'll just say things that seem to be true or are true, but have nothing to do with the foundation of your case, the merits of your case, the substance of your case. They'll just be, examples and statements and so on, and they're really irrelevant, but you can try to worm out of it because you don't have a good case. But in the end, you fail if you cannot argue from solid fact that is nobody's opinion, that is not built on hearsay that you heard, but based on first-hand experience of the case. So an eyewitness, and then you have to have not one, but you have to at least two to confirm it, if not three. And if there's agreement and no contradiction, then you have a solid case. Now, Job, in this case, is the defendant. So it appears. And have you ever had to defend yourself? When something goes wrong, you have to explain it. And you're liable to try to state some things to say, well, it's not how it appears. And so Job, at one time, highly favored of God, the sun shone upon the man, the favor of God was everywhere. He was in good health. He had a large family. He was very spiritual and religious. Obviously, a man of wealth, had friends everywhere. He had a great reputation. He was known far and wide for his just judgments. Job was the top man, as a matter of fact, in the East. I mean, there was nobody more respected, more rich, more honored, more powerful than Job. That's amazing. And everybody said, God has favored this man. He must be a truly spiritual man. Amen? I mean, it was obvious. I mean, God's favor was upon him no matter what, because he was healthy and wealthy and wise and, family in order and good churchgoer and so on. He would have been, I'm sure, a great disciple here. Might even be the pastor. Boot me out. But Job was completely, he was completely exalted on earth. And God even said, no, nobody knows this, but we're privy to it because it says so in the Bible. God even said to the devil, "Hey, Satan, what you been up to?" "Well, I've just been going to and fro." He said, "Well, how is it going to and fro?" "It's a lot of sin out there." "Hey, have you noticed my servant Job?" "Huh? Have you?" "Yeah, I've seen him. Perfect man. Righteous in every way. I'm sure proud of that boy. That's my boy, Job. Count him in your accounting when you make a little thing about how well we did right here." Satan hates to bring a good report about people. How many of you know that Satan's actually the accuser of the brethren? He's actually the accuser. I mean, that he tempts you. First, he has to tempt you. And then when you do it, he accuses you. He goes to God. "God, do you see what he did? Isn't that amazing?" That is amazing. It's a setup. It's a setup. First, he tempts you. "Hey, did God say you can't eat of that? What about?" And he'll set you up till you do what exactly that God said not to do. So he'll get people to sin. "Hey, how would you like to have an angry day?" "How would you like to have a lustful day? How would you like to have a bitter day? How would you like to feel sorry for yourself all day long?" And the devil's right there every morning when you wake up, right at your bed. "Hi, got something for you. Remember what we did yesterday with pride? Try it again." And he's right there. And you got to say no to the guy because he's right there to depress you all day long or make you proud or make you afraid or make you worried or whatever. He's got people going, coming and going. Have you ever noticed that? You just wake up and, you know, you're a Christian, but you'd think your first thought would be, hallelujah. But it's not. It's like, oh boy, another day. You know, and you just kind of start out in a rotten mood and you brush your teeth and so on and try to, you know, see if you can fix things up a little bit. Go get some food in you. Get a little coffee. I don't drink coffee, but some of you are satanically inclined that way. And you just pump yourself up and hope to have a decent day out of it. But the devil's right there. He's going to work with you. He's going to go to work with you, try to discourage you all day long, try to keep you either proud or depressed, one or the other. He wins either way. He's got a broad range of sins to get you on, Joe. I mean, he can get you on all kinds of things. Worry, huh? Fear, pride, anger, lust, bitterness. You know, he's got so many things that he can, you know, just, what about this? And so the devil has got people to and fro, coming and going, constantly going from one sin to guilt. Then they're depressed. Then they say they're sorry. They're happy again. Then they sin again because they're too happy. And, you know, have you ever noticed that? Have you ever noticed that when you get too happy, a sin lies right around the corner? Have you ever noticed that? I mean, it's almost scary to not be scared. You know what I'm saying? I mean, if you get too happy and you think things are going well, look out, because something awful is going to happen. Whereas if you just kind of stay low depressed all the time, you're okay. You know what I'm saying? Where you're not a manic person like, hey, I can do it today. And then, you know, a few minutes later, you're depressed. You're downcast. Oh, it's not a good day. You know, and the devil is right there to discourage you. But look at how he does it. Tempt you, then accuse you. So he's the accuser of the brethren. Well, Job had some accusers. Eliphaz, Bildad, Zophar. These three guys, they were coming to help him out, to comfort him. And you know what they did? They depressed him. Have you ever had a friend like that who said, look, I know you've been going through some troubles lately. Quite a few. I mean, your health is down, right? I mean, you look bad. You look depressed psychologically, too. What you've been through? Having some relational problems? You know, lost your family? You're grieving? God won't answer you? He won't help you out? You know, and he can just spiral you down. No good health, no good relationships, no wealth left. You know, you're in between money. And the whole thing looks depressing. Has anybody ever been there? You know, of course, that's usually when you're younger. When you get, you know, older like me with Social Security, you don't have that problem. You don't have that problem. That just goes away because the government takes care of everything. Amen? They just write you these free checks. Just send it in. It's beautiful. I'm telling you, you don't need to worry about anything. You just don't have any worries. you know. Well, anyway, Job was he was younger, so he had these problems. This was before Roosevelt. And so he was having problems, and the people were accusing him, say, you know, you must have sinned. Bildad, Zophar, you know, these friends of his, they were accusing him and saying, look, Job, look, we're trying to help you here. We're just trying to help you. You ever had a friend like this? We're just trying to help you. We're on your side, buddy. God is probably ticked. He's probably ticked. Now, we're not saying this to make you depressed or anything like this. We're trying to help you. If you just say you're sorry, if you just admit you've sinned, he'll let you off. I'm telling you, he goes for that. He's a merciful God. And so they were encouraging him with good theology. All you got to say if you've sinned, because that's why all these things are happening, these consequences in your life, obviously you've done wrong. We all can see that. Everybody can see that. You used to be favored by God. Look at you now. Look at your relationships. Man, just look at them. You don't have the favor of God. Look at your bank account. Look at your body. Look at your mind right now. I mean, you have nothing going for you, buddy. You used to be somebody. What did you do? I didn't do anything, Job said. They just were amazed. Well, Job, come on, maybe it's a hidden sin. Okay, maybe you didn't deliberately do anything, or maybe you did and you're just hiding it from us. Maybe you know. Maybe you're a hypocrite. On the other hand, you might be schizophrenic. You might have bifurcated. You know, kind of split your mind, and we don't call it manic depressant because we call it now bipolar. That is funny. Bipolar, you know, whatever that is, you know, two poles, two things, you know. And so, you know, if you had to take a little lithium, you'd be okay. Just need a little lithium. How many are on lithium? You know, don't raise your hand. But, I mean, it'll keep you stable. You see, instead of the pole like this, you're up, you know, really high and then totally depressed out of your skull, low. You ever had days like that? Starts out okay, you know, everything's zippity-doo-da, zippity-a. And then all of a sudden, something happens. You get a phone call. Then, you know, I don't know why it always comes in groups like that. One thing goes bad, and then it's another, and it's another. And, you know, pretty soon you are really, you know, you wish you were dead. You wish you hadn't gotten up that day. You wish you weren't alive. Has anybody ever been in that situation? You just wished I was never born. This day stinks. And yesterday was like unto it, and I don't see any hope. Well, that was Job's situation. But one thing he wouldn't give up. He said, no, I have not gone into the house of the idols. Bildad, you guys are wrong. Well, then you've committed immorality, and you're just hiding it. Maybe you did it in your mind. Well, I mean, that's a no-brainer. You know, that would get most of us. But Job said, no, I haven't done that. I haven't committed any immorality whatsoever. Well, Job, maybe when you were a young man, you just kind of buried. No, I didn't. And they kept pressing the guy to try to get it. They're helping him. Try to get at it. Here's what's happening. All you got to do is say you're sorry. God will forgive you. Say you're sorry. Just say it. No, I'm not convicted. In fact, I haven't done anything wrong. You can't say you haven't done anything wrong. Maybe you were unjust to some of your servants. Maybe you had business dealings and you unjustly enriched yourself at their expense. I mean, I'm sure that happens in business, doesn't it? Doesn't that happen to everybody that's in business? A little thing, a little slippery stuff, a little deceitful, you know, and you said you'd give them 10, but you only gave them 9, that kind of thing. One was, you know, 4 of them were made out of wood, the other one was made out of, you know, plastic or something. You know, there's a little cheating that goes on sometimes in the world of business, and maybe you did that. No, I've never done that either. In fact, I swear before God, I have never gone into the house of the idols. I have never done anything immoral. Never. I haven't even thought about it. I'm sorry. I haven't. Isn't that amazing? He sounds like a pastor. Sounds like a pastor to me. Mark, doesn't it sound like you and me? Well, I mean in our current 4 minutes ago, current condition. And so he had done nothing wrong. And so Elihu was listening to it. The fourth guy said, you guys are all wrong. Did you hear? Job said he never did any of that. If you're accusing him, come up with the evidence. Do you have any first-hand knowledge? I've listened to you guys. You have nothing to say. You don't have any documents, no photographs, no fingerprints, no nothing. You don't have anything. You never saw him go into an idol house. You never saw him commit some immoral act. You never saw him. So whether he did or not, you guys didn't nail him on that. I tell you, I've figured out what it is. I don't know about all that stuff. You're speculating. Those are opinions, not solid fact. So I reject all of your accusations. Well, Job felt better about that because now he's got Elihu. Well, Eli means God, and who, well, that means himself. So it's just like me, Pastor Jim. You want to hear God? Himself? I can tell you exactly what he's up to and saying. You know, isn't that neat to have somebody like that around? I mean, that would be great to always be able to call up somebody and say, hey, what's God doing right now? He's betting on blue water. And, you know, you want to get the scoop on exactly where God is at any given moment on your situation. Pastor, what's God saying right now? This is your lucky day. This is your lucky day. Of course, lucky is Lucifer, but anyway. So, you know, I don't think God's into that. I don't think God, you know, plays those kind of games and give people the ability to say exactly what he says, because how do they know? How do they know? How can anyone say, I don't think Pastor Jim, that's me, is that reliable? I'm stabbing at it, but I might throw a little bit in on my own. I've been known to do it. I've been known to throw a little bit of my own in there, because when something good happens, I like to take a little credit for it. Amen? When something bad happens, I'd like to spread the blame. I have an explanation, you know. That wasn't really due to me. And I don't know, I'm very good at trying to come out smelling like a rose at the end of the day. Is anybody else like me? I mean, I just have that capacity. I have a unique ability to try to get other people to be guilty and myself to look innocent. I don't know. I'm just very good at that. I can. In fact, I'm ad hoc. I can just kind of come up without even having prepared. If somebody says you're guilty, I immediately have an answer. No, it's not me. It's you, actually. And I'll listen and dig until I get something. Is anybody else like that? So I don't like to be accused. I don't like to be accused. I hate that when people accuse me. Hey, who are you? Hey, you done no sin? Who are you to accuse me? You cleaned up your act completely, totally? So that's always a good one. Y'all see that? Jesus did that one. I learned that from Jesus. He said, who hath not sinned, let him throw the first stone. Remember that? They had a woman in adultery, and she'd committed adultery, and they had her dead. They had photographs and fingerprints. They had all this stuff. They were right there. They do that now. They do that. At least they do in Mexico, because I've seen it, Secretos. And then they have those movies like that. And they show the secret of everybody doing wrong. And so, no, they didn't have anything, but they knew she had done it. They knew this woman is adulterous, and they caught her in the act. And so Jesus said, okay, whoever hasn't sinned, let him be the first one. I accept your allegation, but let's go ahead and judge her, since we got all these witnesses here. And whoever hasn't sinned, let him throw the first stone. And nobody threw a stone. You know why, Joe? They had all sinned. Every one of them. And it said from the oldest, from the oldest down to the youngest, they departed. You'd think maybe some of the young ones hadn't sinned yet. Yeah, I don't know how young they were, but old enough to throw a rock. Did you know that when you're old enough to throw a rock, you're a man? I mean, that proves manhood right there. Little kids are always practicing, so they can be men. Because you can stone people. I mean, that's one of the things about adults is their ability to accuse. That's how you can tell if somebody's an adult. You know? You can see that in teenagers. They're developed that. Hey, you know, you parents are hypocrites. You know, you didn't do everything right. And teenagers are very good, very accurate at that. You ever notice that? They save up till they're about 15, 16, something like that often. And then they just hit you with one. Well, you've never loved me. It's like, whoa. Well, you always favored my sister, you know, and it's stuff like that. You don't know where that's coming from, Joe. They're just walking out the door, and then they throw that at you. Hey, where are you going? Why don't you stay here? No. You know, it's like, how come we could have a nice evening together? You know, and kids would just throw stuff at you as they're walking out the door. No, I'm not saying any of my kids did that, but I'm just making it up. So, what are you going to do with all the accusations? Not only do other people accuse you, you accuse yourself. Who is harder on you than you? Hey, before you get me, know this. I've already taken care of this. I've already beat myself up plenty. I don't want to hear it from you. Does anybody have that? You get kind of self-righteous about that. You know, I try the first one. Hey, you've sinned too. Be quiet. You know, that's the first one. Who do you think you are? I love that. Don't you love that? Don't you defend yourself like that? So accusation is something you have to have an answer for that. You don't want people just to go around accusing you of stuff that you didn't do. And there's always people out there comparing themselves to you and trying to knock you down, get ahead of you, take advantage of you. I hate that. Couldn't we have a nicer world, God? Did you know I have a lot of people out there that are mean? I mean, they're like tempting you and then accusing you. I mean, there are people that actually will set it up that way to get you to sin so they can control you. Did you know that? Kind of like we've done wrong. Join us or else get out. Because we don't trust you unless you've also done all the same stuff we've done. And we'll be buddies. Isn't that neat? Do you all understand what I'm saying? You need to. Because that's the way life is. We don't like people to be better than us. I don't like it when some people are pretending they're better. I like to get the goods out of them so we're all equally evil. Yahoo! Thank you. I know Norman is, so I'm okay. I'm okay. Norman, you and me, forget the rest of these people. You and me, we're evil. Praise God. But I believe some of you are hiding. I do. Just like Job's friends, I got you. I got you. I know that game. That is a good one. So here he is being attacked by others. Then he attacks himself, and the devil's attacking him. I mean, that's a lot of attacks. But here's their attack. Elihu said, I'll tell you what it is. It's God who's accusing you. What? Whoa, you're kidding. Not just the law of, you know, idolatry, immorality, and injustice. I'm telling you, Job, you think you're better than God. You think you're more righteous than God. You think you haven't sinned and all these sins are coming on you and God just letting it happen. What kind of a God do we have? Would he be unjust to do that? Are you accusing God? He's the one accusing you. You better mind your business. You better be careful. And so Job, you know, you say, no, Elihu, I'm not buying that either. But he's just listening to the guy, and the guy's just pummeling him, helping him out, of course. So he's comforting him. This is comfort, Joe. You got your best friend trying to find out what your sin is to explain the bad things that have happened in your life. When someone is down on their luck, when someone is just having, you know, they're just looking bad, you want to say something to help them. Hey, let me, I don't want to bring this up, but let me tell you why I think this has happened. And I'll tell you what, it's just, it's awful. Because you were already depressed from whatever it was depressing you, and now you got a friend that come over to say, I've never wanted to say this to you, but now that you're down like this, I think I need to say something. It's because of the way, you know, and then they go right into it and get you. Has anybody ever noticed that? When you're down, they kick you further down. You thought you were depressed until your friend showed up. And even if they don't say it, they're thinking it. They're thinking it. Wow, I wonder what happened. There must be something we don't know. Look at this man. Look at how sick he is. He's going to die. This guy's going to die. I don't think there's any hope for him. And look at his money. He was once worth walking around. I mean, nobody even, they don't even want to be near him now. Have you ever seen that where somebody has a lot of money, a lot of, you know, they're respected, and then it comes out in the paper something, and they've lost, I'll tell you, nobody wants to be around them anymore. Nobody wants to be around them. Amen? Do y'all understand how life works? It's mean. It's very efficient that way. Just like you're nobody now. If I didn't wear a suit and tie, I'm telling you, Mark, I have to wear this. I mean, among your people, you don't have to, but I have to. I wouldn't get any respect at all. I wouldn't get any respect. So you've got to, because they wouldn't know who the pastor was. So you got to look the part. You got to at least look like you're successful and, you know, ordinary intelligent. Otherwise, people will think things. If they saw me scruffed up, they'd begin to wonder what's happened to him, you know? I mean, what's gone wrong? Peggy will a lot of times mention, you know, Dad, look at your pants. They're not ironed. Well, that's all right. I don't care. Yeah, but I do. People are going to think I did that. We didn't fix this up. I said, well, it's okay. I don't care about it. Well, people are going to judge you. Ah, they won't even think about it. They got problems of their own. They will judge you. Give me those pants. And so, you know, she keeps me pantsed up and stuff because, you know, she doesn't want me to go down the drain. It's easy to be accused in this world, especially when everything is going against you. He lost his health. He lost his wealth. He lost his friends. He lost his relationship. He lost his reputation. He lost everything a man could. There's nothing left yet. Nothing left. And then they were telling him, even God is accusing you, and you just won't ever say, I'm sorry, I did wrong. If you just do it, he'll be merciful. All you got to do is say, this has all come about because of my own sin. You see someone in trouble like that, you know it's their sin. It's not circumstances. It's not life. It's them. Get a hold of yourself, buddy. Get a hold of yourself. You know, I mean, that's just a good thing to say to somebody who's down like that. Hey, snap out of it. And you just kind of wake them up. Hey, stop blaming everybody. The economy and, you know, your health thing and the hospital wouldn't pay. I hear that. You are a miserable person. That's all there's to it. And God is trying to show you something. You just are unteachable. You're just unteachable. You're an ignoramus. I don't know. That's hard to take. So here's the beauty of this book. This book is so beautiful. If you've ever had a trial or a trouble or whatever, read this book. I mean, in the Old Testament, this is one of the best books ever. Because it's so depressing that everybody wishes, my God, I hope that never happens to me. I hope, you know, where I'm serving God one day and all of a sudden God turns against me and all hell breaks loose. Everything falls apart. I lose my beauty. I lose my wealth. I lose my health. I lose my friends. I lose all my relationships. And I am left alone, high and dry. Has that ever happened to anybody here? And I'll tell you another thing. When it comes, it'll keep coming. It's not just going to come once. It's going to come until you actually learn your lesson. You know, have you noticed that kind of a pattern in your life? Has anybody noticed a pattern in your life? When things go wrong, they come back again. Like, oh my God, I thought I was out of that. Now look. Has that ever happened to anybody here? It's kind of like, oh geez, I hope this is not a repeat. Geez, that's short for Jesus. Geez, gee whiz, that's another word. But the point is, you're kind of like at your wit's end. And people say that. I don't care if they come to church or not. I hear them saying that. I hear people say that. Gee whiz. It's like, that's swearing. You just use the name of the Lord God in vain. Has anybody seen that? People will say that because they didn't say it literally, but they were still saying it. Hello? Here's our situation right here. You got to defend yourself. When people start attacking, you at least got to explain to yourself. Then you got to answer to God. And he's the one accusing you. Behind all of these guys, who is behind this guy accusing? Who's behind this guy? I'll tell you who's behind this guy. I'll tell you who's behind this guy. This guy right here. This guy. This guy here, and he is mean and nasty, and he's pointing his finger too. So behind every accuser that you have on earth, you've got another guy in the mid heavens. It cometh down, and he's got clients on the earth, and he's going to accuse you through these guys. And so now the finger is going right at you, and you better have something to say rather than just sit there and be silent. You need to answer. You need to say something. But you know what? What can you say? What can you say? Look at Job. Here's how Job says it. Well, I'm innocent. I know all this has happened. I know I've lost everything. And I can't explain it. But I'll tell you what. I haven't committed any sins. Well, Elihu said, maybe outwardly, maybe it's hidden. Maybe it's inscrutable. Even maybe God hasn't revealed it to you. But surely God would not do this to one of his own. Surely God would not cause his own to go through one of these. How many have ever been through something you think to yourself, God, let this happen to a wicked person? Have you ever thought that? Me, I go to church. I read my Bible. I say prayers. I've even tithed. I don't think it's right. Has anybody ever tried to defend yourself that way? One. Two. Three, four, five. Six, seven. Nobody else? Liars. Everybody's going to defend themselves. Hey, I was innocent. I'm a victim here. Has anybody ever had that mentality? I'm a victim. I don't know why they let me go. I don't know why. I don't think I did anything wrong. As a matter of fact, I'm the only one that did anything around there. And I think it was just the jealousy of so-and-so. Has anybody ever defended yourself like that? Because you can't explain why you just got fired or, you know, weren't invited or whatever the thing is. You got to explain that to yourself. And if somebody else said, you aren't going? I don't work there anymore. You know, they didn't invite me or whatever. You got to defend yourself. Well, everybody's going. I can't explain it, but I feel I'm innocent. I don't feel I did wrong. Hello? All right. Now, here's the beauty. I'll just jump to the answer, because I can tell you guys are not at all identifying with this. I'm going to jump right to the answer. God has never, ever, ever been your accuser. Never. Now, that's good news, but it gets even better. Here's Job's sin. Because you can read the book of Job and feel like Elihu at least sounds like a Christian. Has anybody read it and you think, well, I don't know, that guy sounds pretty good. That guy, I don't see what he said was wrong. The other guys, okay, they're telling Job he sinned and idolatry, immorality, and injustice, and they didn't prove their point. But at least Elihu is always talking about Jesus and God and mercy and everything and Almighty and all this. He sounds like a good believer. He must be right. Oh, no, he's not. He's the worst. Why? Because he says, Job, I'm not saying idolatry, immorality, injustice. You know what I'm saying to you? You think you're better than God. That's why God's against you. You try to exalt yourself and say, you're just and he's unjust then for putting all this stuff on you. You know he did this, or at least allowed it. Look at your life. God's against you, buddy. And you're saying he's wrong to not give me justice. You got justice. Why do you think all these things have happened to you? You're getting the consequences of your sin. Just say you're sorry. No. I didn't do anything wrong. God cannot justly condemn me. He has to vindicate me. I know that my Redeemer liveth, and I know that on the last day he will stand upon the earth and he'll stand up there. He'll rise up and he'll say, Job is innocent. So I'll tell you one thing about Job. He has faith. Yeah, another time he said something like this. Yea, though he slay me, yet I'll trust him. I mean, boy, that. So he's a faith man for sure. This guy's definitely faith. Definitely faith. He's not accusing God. He's saying, no. God is not. I know God's doing this. I know God's letting it happen. I know all that. And I don't have a clue. But I'll tell you, it's not for my sin. It's not because of my sin. So Elihu is trying to figure out what his sin is. Hey, I know what your sin is. You think you're better than God. You think you're more just. You think you can justify yourself? Hey, God is the one that figures out if you're right and wrong. You must be wrong. No, I'm not. I'm not. You can't answer like that. Look at you. Look at you. Come on, come up with some evidence. I don't have any. I just know I'm all right. I know God's for me. Oh, come on. It's a trial of some sort. And when this fire is over, I'll come out purified. It's in the Bible. It's in the story. Job, that's nonsense. How long is this trial? I don't know. I've asked God to kill me. He won't do it. It's because he doesn't listen to you. It's because he's against you. If God be for me, who can be against me? But in this case, they said, he's against you. All he wants you to do is confess your sin. Just confess it. You committed murder, adultery. You were idolater. You think you're God. There's something. Say it. No. I say I'm innocent and pure. Don't you love it? And you know what? It agrees with God, because God said that to the devil. Hey, have you seen my servant Job? Perfect man. Unbelievable. Just check him out. So Elihu said he was speaking for God. He's a liar. Because God already spoke. God's not a time-space guy. God's eternal. He spoke before the foundation of the world, and he pronounced it to the devil. Hey, have you seen my servant Job? Perfect man. Whoa, God's already pronounced. That's final. So Job is okay. That's why his faith is good. It holds. I know that my Redeemer liveth. But let me show you something. You ask, well, how come God didn't rebuke Elihu? Because Elihu said another wrong thing. He said, I speak for God. But I just told you what God said. Do you think he's agreeing with God or the devil? The devil's the accuser. God's not an accuser, Joe. He's never been an accuser. What's God? Well, he's the judge. Wrong. Oh, yes, of course he's the judge. But watch this. Job's sin, we haven't gotten to what Job's sin is. Because none of those guys nailed him. All of his accusers are wrong. What is Job's sin? I've saved this to the last, by the way. And, you know, I wish there were 100 more people here to hear this. Because I maybe should save it till next week. I don't know. Have to carry this thing out. What is Job's sin? You know what Job's sin is? You're gonna be blown away. I can tell you're not blown away. Well, you haven't heard it yet. Here's Job's sin. Here's Job's sin. Remember, God says in the 38th, who is this that darkens counsel by words, milah, without knowledge, da'at? You know, and you're just talking through your hat, Job. Well, it looks like God's accusing him. Gird up your loins now like a man. I'm going to demand of you, and you answer me. So he's got him in court now. God has finally shown up, pushed aside Elihu, who is a liar, pushed him aside and say, Elihu, you don't speak for me. I speak for me. And I'll choose the man to speak for me. And they don't tell lies like you just did. You said Job was guilty. You don't know how to make him guilty. It's none of your. You're not. Are you his judge? Are you his judge? I'm just trying to help him. I'm just telling him some good theology. Did you say what I said? Yeah, of course. Didn't you hear it? And so God rejects him. He just bumps him, and he shows up. Job had never heard God himself. Elihu wasn't God himself. God himself is God himself. Not a man. Men are not God. Men aren't God. The Pope, not God. Speaking ex cathedra. You know, sitting on his chair. A cathedra is a chair. He's sitting on his chair. God. You know, there's nobody on earth that can speak for God. God. You have to say it like that. You can't just say God. God. You know that. You have to have a real deep voice. You have to have one of those sticks in your hand. You know that? Well, if you're going to be God, you have to sound like him and look like him. So God was saying, Elihu is not my spokesman. How many know that God, that's not his spokesman? Elihu is not God's spokesman. He's got one. His name is Yeshua, HaMashiach. Jesus, the Messiah, the cornerstone. That thing upon which the whole earth is built. That measure by which all economics, all politics, all society, all church life, all personal life, all family life, everything in the world is judged by this cornerstone. It's the stone upon which the foundations of the earth are laid. And so why does God go into this little discussion here when he comes along? I think it sounds like he's against Job, but you know what he's really saying is? Stand up, be a man. Don't be afraid because I speak to you out of a whirlwind. You know what a whirlwind is? It's like a tornado. It's whirling around and it's just swallowing up everything in its path and just demolishing everything. Job's whole confidence is fading away as this whirlwind comes down on him. And you know, you think you had it bad so far? You haven't lost everything. I have. I've lost my family, my wealth, my health. My wife doesn't want to talk to me. I'm in trouble. I'm telling you, I'm in trouble. Deep trouble. Everything is gone on me. No, there's something else you got. None of them have nailed it yet. None of them. And they never will. No human court will ever get you on this. What did I've done? I didn't do anything wrong. I didn't say that. There's just one thing more. I want you dead. What's what I asked you? Not that kind of dead. I'm talking about give up your life. You're too strong yet. You wanted to defend yourself. You wanted to explain yourself. You wanted to get answers. And I'm going to ask you some questions. Where were you when I laid the foundations of the earth? Oh, I wasn't really there. You a first-hand witness? Were you there? Did you have an eyewitness account of it? That was before we were here. Great answer. Let me ask you something else. When I laid out the meets and bounds, were you there? When I laid the cornerstone, when the angels sang, the sons of the morning, were you there? I don't recall that either. I heard about it. Yeah, but were you there? Do you have an experience with that? Do you have first-hand knowledge of that? Not really. What do you know about snow? Cold. You don't know anything about a snowflake. Do you know how I make them? No, I don't know anything about that. What about Leviathan, the monster of the deep? You ever put a hook in his nose? Fire breathes fire out at you. Underwater? Yep. Yep. You never played with that or tamed it? Or no. It gets too big. You would put spears in it and arrows and the thing is too big. It just laughs at them. What about Behemoth? The monster on the earth. What do you know about him? Big. Another big one. Are you part of that? Do you know anything about that? No. Kind of, no, I don't. Joe, what do you know? Let's put it that way. Not a heck of a lot, really. I don't have anything. I mean, I don't even know why you're talking about all this stuff. I was talking about my innocence. Could we get back to the point at hand? I mean, you got me on geology lessons and about, you know, zoology and biology. I have never majored in that stuff. You know nothing about basic facts of anything. You know that scientists today, to this day, still don't know the basic things. They don't know the glue that holds together the atom. They don't know what makes the, you know, the neutron hang and stick and glue and the little electron from spinning off. They don't know why that all works. They just know it does. They can't explain it. What's the glue? What's the glue? What's the gravitas that holds this whole? They don't know. Nobody knows. Why don't we bump into something else? You know, why does this comet do that? They don't know. Nobody knows. They just know it happens. And they know it's orderly. And they know there's some kind of intelligent design out there. But they can't figure it. All they can do is kind of look after it, and then, you know how to plug in the lamp, but you don't know what electricity is. Is it a wave? Is it a particle? Is it a string? Nobody knows anything. They don't really know. Here are the experts, and they don't know. All they can do is play with it. So that's what God is saying. Did you ever tame Leviathan? Did you ever pull one of those mammoths into your living room and, you know, feed it dog food? I don't think so. You don't know anything. You don't know what you're talking about. And, you know, this whirlwind God talk was reducing him to a nothing. It's like he wasn't going to have a self left when he was done. What they said to him, nothing compared to God. God is reducing this guy until he doesn't have a life. He doesn't have, you know, he's a nothing. I wasn't there. And, you know, that's why he said, stand up. He didn't want to. It's kind of like, you know, he just felt pathetic. Have you ever been in trouble like that where you felt weak? You just felt pathetic. You didn't want to stand up. It's kind of like you want to just shrink back. See, I just wished I hadn't spoken. I wished I hadn't come out today. I wished I had not wakened up. But now that you stand up, be a man. Now, God wasn't attacking him. I just told you God's never the accuser. But it looks like he is. It looks exactly like he is. It looks like they're right, and he's wrong. Not so. Do you know why God has come to him? To defend him. God is not only his advocate, he's his defender. He's the one, he's not the accuser, that's the plaintiff. He's the defender. He's the one, he said, Job, why have you defended yourself? Why are you defending yourself? Why are you explaining things? What do you know? How could you handle this case? Can you go to the bottom on anything? Well, let me quiet. Let me be your defender. Put your trust in the Lord. Oh, man. There was Job's sin. Not murder. Not adultery. Not hating God. Not believing in Jesus. None of that! Here was his sin. The blasphemy against the Holy Spirit. You can sin against the Father all day long. He tells you to do right and you can do wrong. Did you know you can do that? You've done it. So you ought to know you can do it. You've done it. You've broken God's laws over and over again. You've broken his moral laws, his spiritual laws. You've broken all kinds of laws. But that can be forgiven. Or you can be against Jesus. You can spit on Jesus or be a Buddhist or something. That's okay. That's forgivable too. That's not what bothers God. What bothers God? What is it God's after here? Remember, this is before Moses. They didn't even have the written law. He doesn't even know the written law that makes sin exceedingly sinful. He just knows that God himself is talking to him out of a whirlwind. And all of a sudden, in the midst of your troubles and your problems, when everything is a whirlwind, you hear the voice of God. Because here's your prayer. God, I've heard of thee with the hearing of the ear, but I've never, really experienced you. I don't know you by experience. I know I'm saved. I know my Redeemer liveth. I know, if you slay me, I'm still going to trust you. I know all that. But I need you right now here to help me. God says, I can't help you. I've got to do it. I'm not just helping you out. You need to die. Stop defending yourself. Stop explaining yourself. How many of us are defenders and explainers of ourselves? I'm always explaining myself, even just to myself. Trying to explain myself to myself is, why'd you do that? I had a reason there. Stop it. You see, the sin, this is the major sin of Job. Is not that he didn't believe in Jesus, and not that, he was a perfect guy and so on. His major sin is that there's one word. I'm going to write it in Hebrew, and I want you to memorize this word. I want you to memorize this word. Here's the word that God, this is God's right hand over here. Here's the word that God wants him to get a hold of. Okay. Nach, N-A, Cham. It's a strong am. Nacham. All right, say that. Nach, am. Nacham. Now, it has different meanings, but it has two that I'm interested in. Number one, it means repent. Because Job is going to say in this book, I am a vile man, and I repent. And the word for vile means, I loathe myself now that I've seen God in person. I've experienced Him. I hate myself. I have not lived correctly at all. I defended myself to those accusers, because no human being can accuse you, because every human being is equally guilty with you. Let him who hath no sin, remember Jesus said it, let him who hath no sin throw the first stone. If you have any sin in you, you can't throw the first stone. So, yes, you can throw a stone at me only if you don't have any sin. Okay, who here, who has no sin? We'll just start with Norma. No sin? I love it. That's a faith statement, Norma. It's faith. You sin. You've sinned. But you said you were sorry. So that's what you mean. Okay. None of us can throw a stone. Could you accuse some other brother or sister? No. That would be a sin. So you don't want to do that. Have you done no sin? You've done some? Okay. Keep it up once a day. You're on the one-a-day plan like me. Yeah, I try to keep mine going. Have you sinned, Joe? Yes. Still fresh? Yes. You're so old, can you really still do them? Did you outgrow them? You can still do them? You can't, Joe. Yes. You're just all sweets and wonderful. Happiness. Barbara, you don't sin. You still do? Oh, my gosh. Well, there's no point. I can see I got 100% so far. Let's just end the poll right here. That's the end of the poll in the second row. You see, all of us are sinful. Therefore, Jesus said this, judge not, lest you be judged. For with the judgment you judge, you will be judged. I say that it's not worth it. You're pointing a finger at somebody and three fingers are coming back at you. Don't do it. You have nothing to say to anybody. So his accusers are definitely wrong. But neither is God his accuser. God is his defender. God is always your defender. He doesn't have another role. He's also the judge. But he's also your defender. That's why he sent Jesus to be my advocate. You have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. So Jesus never lies. He never makes a mistake. He always wins his cases because it's his dad who's the judge. So God has come down to talk to Job as his defender. And here's his only problem with Job. Job, don't defend yourself anymore. Now, here's, I told you that it has two meanings. The first one is repent. Change your mind. But the second one is this. Naham means this. Be at ease. Relax. Stop worrying. Be comfortable. Wow. You see this? When someone's accusing you, when a whirlwind is going about you, it's hard for you not to try to find your bearings, defend yourself, protect yourself. It's hard. Don't, saith God. Let me take care of it. I'll shield you. I'll reward you. I'll take care of you. It'll all work out good. Whoa. Do you have that kind of faith in God? Do you have that kind of faith that everything in your life is working out for your good? Everything is on your side. Let's say you've committed a murder. That's okay. It's forgivable. Let's say you've lied. That's forgivable. The only thing that God's concerned about is repent. Repent. What for? Be relaxed. Stop defending yourself. Stop trying to figure things out. Remember, he was agitated, trying to, God, are you against me? I mean, these people are all saying this and that and so on and so forth. But I don't think I've done anything wrong. It's too much. God just wants you to relax and go like this. I don't want everybody to do this. Let's do it again. You know, and just relax. Why? Because you don't have to defend yourself. God is never going to accuse you. And nobody that ever accuses you will ever get anywhere in his court. You're going to win. His court is the Supreme Court over the Supreme Court over the Supreme Court. I mean, it's the court of last resort. And God has already decided years ago when Jesus Christ was sent on the earth, there's your vindication right there. That just proves God's for you forever. Anytime you can sin all you want, you can sin all you want. Just don't ever worry about it.
You don't have to repent.
That is repentance. I just told you. Repentance is be comfortable, be at ease, stop trying to figure it out. You can't make yourself better. You can't improve yourself. You can't be sincere. How many say, well, I'm going to tell God that from now on I'm going to be sincere. Has anybody ever tried that? I mean it too. I'm serious. I've just been too cavalier, too, you know, I need to be sober. All right, I'm going to do it from now on. I've made so many mistakes. I believe if I sober up a little bit, I believe I'll be heading in the right direction. God doesn't want that. That's still you working at it. Take your losses. What are they? When God's on your side, who's against you? If God's your defender, how can it go wrong? Abraham, fear not. I'm your shield. Could you get going? If you're shielding me, how come all these people are attacking me? Disregard them. Yeah, it's easy for you. Come down here. I've heard of thee with the hearing of the ear. I need to experience a little of that. Could you come down and shield me? I have been. Oh, I guess I didn't notice. No, you were griping too much. If you just stop griping and stop, relax. If you just relax, praise the Lord. How many know God dwells in the praise of his people? You start praising God. Well, hallelujah. Another mess. Well, hallelujah. One more, you know. And you just get to the point where you can live in the middle of whirlwind, chaos, everything going against you, and laugh your head off. Why? Because the only sin is this. Make sure you naham, repent, be at ease. Don't try to figure it. Don't try to work it. You don't know anything. You couldn't get to the bottom if you tried. Let God defend you, and He already has. He already has. He's already told the devil long ago, that's my boy. And that's it. I ain't changing. I love God. God is not changeable. He doesn't blow with the wind. Whirlwind doesn't bother God. God's not affected by whirlwinds. And when He puts you through a trial and a trouble and so on, He's not testing you to see if you'll make it. He's testing Himself to see if He can defend you. And here you are struggling to... And you're trying to work it out. Stop it! Just free fall. God, it's nothing. Help me, oh God. I know you will. Woo-hoo! Just start, you know, just do some flips inside that thing and don't worry about it. It's all going to come out in the wash. Hello? Did you know that you can't lose? Now, I know some of you are not getting this. It's okay. It's okay. You can buy the tape. You can buy the tape and listen to it until you get this. The sin of Naham is that you didn't repent, which doesn't mean I won't sin anymore. What it means is I am not going to defend myself when I have a defender who has come upon the earth and He can never be moved because He's the judge of the earth. And He's always just. And He's on my side. And if God is for me, no one is going to accuse me. Even myself. I'm not going to live in guilt. I'm not going to live in condemnation. I'm not going to let people intimidate me and beat me down. You know why? Because it's easy. It's real easy. Someone said, you know, Pastor, I can see sin in you. I mean, it's, you know, it's too hard to defend myself, and I want to. Hey, what about in you? I'm fast at that. Is anybody as fast as I am? I'm really fast on that. Hey, who are you? I may not say it that way. That's what I'm thinking on the inside. There's a bitterness that comes up in me and a vengeance. You know, and I would say a swear word if I would express my violence over that. Who are you to judge me? You. And then a string of things would come out of my mouth if I could say it, but I'm not going to say it because I'm a Christian. I'm a pastor. But, you know, I mean, that's just, I hate it when people accuse me. Who are you? Who do you think you are? And you're no better than me, and I'll work at it. If it takes me my whole, I'm going to show that you're worse than I am or equal to me at least. Isn't that amazing? That's why God says, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord, to spare you the effort. Don't worry about it. He'll take care of it. But I know He doesn't. He says He will, but He doesn't. I could get Him right now. God's, have you ever noticed about God? He delays. He's a delayer. You ever notice that about God? God, you said vengeance is yours. Do it. Get Him. Because I'm going to rejoice in the when you get Him. I know I'm not supposed to, but I'll do it a little bit, and I'll do it humbly. But I'm going to do it. You ever do that when someone falls? I do. I get excited. Yes. I just go like that. I don't say it, but that's exactly yes. I when someone accuses me, it's like, I won't say what it's like. But it's like I want them to get it. I want them to get it. Get them good. Because they affronted me. And you don't want to say something like, do you know who you're dealing with? You do. You want to say that. You just, it just comes out. Is anybody else like me? I don't know. Am I alone? Al, you're like that? Praise God. You seem docile to me. There's a kind of a fierce guy inside of you? Praise God. I'll feel better then. There is in me. I'll tell you, when someone does me wrong like that, I don't like it. But here's my mistake. Jim, what are you doing? Well, I'm just defending myself. Don't. I'm your defense. Oh, yeah, I forgot. You're so slow, I forgot. So could you hurry it up? They're needing it right now. Jim, you need it right now. Yeah, you're right on that. All right, okay, forget that point. You see, God is just. And aren't you glad He's merciful to them and you? There it is. God is never, ever, ever, ever an accuser. Never. You might think He is. Did you know that God desires not the death of any sinner? I don't care who you come up with, who you think of. Well, that one is demonic. What are you? The way you even said that was demonic. You see? Well, she's demonic. Don't you love it? Don't you love it? Don't you think that's funny? You know, we can be so self-righteous. Well, by God, she's demonic. She deserved that. She had that coming. I told her not to wear that. I told her not to say that. I told him to watch out. You know, are we not like that? You see, God is saying, relax, rest, enter into comfort, be at ease, complete ease. Stop it. God's going to take care of you. Do y'all have that faith? It's not something you can achieve. It's just a gift. It's just the truth. It's just the truth. These are the basic facts upon which to make your case. I'll not defend myself. I'm not going to protect myself. I'm not going to do it. I'm not in trouble. If God be for me, who can be against me? All things are working together for the good of them that love the Lord. Do y'all wake up that way in the morning? Zippity-doo-da, zippity-a, my oh my. You see, I mean, people are scared of that. They're scared because they know, man, if things are going pretty well, you watch out because something's going to happen and you're going to fall off. I know if I'm too happy too long like that, something's going to just sneak up on me and get me, and then I'll be sorry. You ever thought that is, boy, things are going rather well these days. I wonder when it's going to happen. I wonder when, you know. I got to be careful. I got to sober up a little bit. I'm not saying too much, just kind of medium. If I don't want to go too high or too low. I don't want to go too high or too low. If I get too happy, I know something bad will happen. Because I always get caught when that happens. When I always say something like this, hey, everything's going my way, the next day, that very hour, something goes wrong. Has that ever happened? Like, a lot of times, this has happened to all of our cars. The minute I have said, and I think all of our kids' cars too, boy, you know, this new car that we have, it doesn't have a dent or a scratch on it. It doesn't. And then all of a sudden, you remember one of those big trucks in Dallas? It writes on the side, you got some saying, oh gosh, I can't remember it, but something like, we can destroy the world or something like this, whatever it is. No. It's one of these big dump truck things. Yeah, no, it's not that. But anyway, whatever it is, a big 4x8 sheet of plywood came flying. I remember driving right over to Dallas, that bridge where you can't move to the left or right. And this truck, this big thing, and I was just saying to Peggy, you were there. And remember we were just saying, praise God, you know, our car doesn't have a scratch on it. We were just saying it. And all of a sudden, a big plywood, like God heard me. You worshiping this car? Take that. And I was proud of that. And it, not only did it hit the car, it hit it and it was under it and it started slapping the hood and beating the tar out of it. Oh, it's awful. And it only happens if you get a new car. It doesn't happen if you buy an old junk. And that happens all the time. Does anybody else have that? You get a new dress and all of a sudden, that very day, a new tie, there'll be, you know, ketchup on it or something. It's just like that. Someone will be out in the parking lot. You get a new car. You drive far away from everybody. You don't even want to park near anybody because you don't want somebody slamming their door open on a new car like that. But somehow they come out and find you there. You're a mile from everybody else at Walmart or something. And some kid will come along with his keys and just ride right along your car. It's because it's new. They wouldn't do if it was a dirty car. They only look for new cars. Has anybody ever seen that? It's just that God will not let you ever worship anything. You can't have anything nice for long. Pretty soon the weeds are going to grow up. Pretty soon, you know, the thing that you were worshiping and, you know, having a little bit of joy in, watch it. So you learn, I'm not enjoying anything. It may come, but I'll just look sober even though I'm happy about it because I don't want God to know that I'm actually pretty pleased with this thing. I just don't want him to see it. I mean, no, God cannot see your thoughts. Can't see in the dark like that. You do it at night, it's okay too, because he can't see that. Relax. Rest. Don't worry about it. God loves you. He knows what you're like. He is not bothered. Amen. isn't troubled. He loves you. Why? Who knows? Was I there when the hippopotamus was created? I don't know. I have no idea why God does what he does. All I know is, best news I ever heard. Jim, don't defend yourself. How many of you are control freaks? You know what that's going to do to you? You know what that's going to do to you? First of all, it doesn't work. But second of all, it's going to make you anxious. Always thinking, constantly trying to dominate that person and make them be what they ought to be. What would be good for them? What I think would be good for them. You know, and I want to choke them if they don't cooperate. I do. I have ideas about almost everything. I do. I can improve everything. I can drive along the highway and improve the poles along the road. I can respace them, change their... I can do all kinds of things. I am an improver of everything I touch. And I don't know why God won't listen to me. I've asked him, make me the mayor, make me the governor, make me the president, make me the emperor. Give me some time. I could clean things up. You know, I mean, numbskulls that are in office, let me do it. Give me a chance. Give me 10,000 members. I'll have them down to 100 in no time. It's amazing. It's amazing. But you know, that does not deflate my ego at all. I still believe in myself, totally. Circumstances have nothing to do with my, you know, hubris, my confidence. It's amazing to me. Pastor Jim, haven't you seen how many people aren't coming? Not really. It's just quality. We're working on quality. You know, we don't go for quantity. We're not into that. That's idolatry. Ours is quality. Come and see the quality of people we have. Here, put these glasses on. All right. God is good. I just want you to know, this is the message. The whole book of Job, I saved it all the way to this. God is never your accuser. He is always your defender. And when God defends you, you're defended. Nobody can accuse you. No accusation. Remember it says in the Bible, no weapon fashioned against you will prevail. And every tongue that rises itself up against you in accusation, you will condemn. You just say to those Eliphazes and all those funny guys, hey, you don't know what you're talking about. God's my judge, not you. And God's already judged me. He likes me. He thinks I'm the best. Woohoo! Can you all say that? Can you all say God loves me? He thinks I'm the best? You are. I don't care if you're fat. I don't care if you're fat. I don't care if you're ugly. Some of you are ugly. You are. You're ugly. I don't care. I don't care if you're smart, stupid, skinny, you know, obnoxious. God loves you. That's it. Don't defend yourself. If you're overweight, don't say to yourself, I gotta do something about this. Don't say that. Just say, God, you got a lot to love here. And you know, if I need anything, just take care of it. Because I'm your baby. No, take a negative. Don't take any negatives. God's on your side. If God be for you, who can be against you? The book of Job is so powerful. What happens to Job after he says, you know what? I heard of thee with the hearing of the ear. Now I've seen you. I've actually experienced what I believe. My faith, that got me salvation. I know I'm saved. I know my Redeemer liveth. I know all that. I know that if you slay me, I'll still rise up from the dead. I'm not asking that question. I'm asking this question. God, what about in this world right here? Can you defend me here? Can you bless me here? Can you take care of me here? Can you speak to all my accusers, even myself, so I can relax? Just rest. The best is yet to come. Did you know that God's got the whole world rigged for you? I mean, it's rigged. Everything's going your way. Zippity-doo-da. Zippity-a. My, oh my. What a wonderful day. How many are just ready to go forth, you know, confident? This is the best day of my life. Who'd like to say that? Somebody like to say that. This is the best day of the rest of my life. Barbara? Woohoo! That's a fact. Anyone else who wants to say that fact? That's a basic fact. Anyone else wants to say it? Someone who, you know, it's not obvious. Just say it. Amen. Amen. Who else? Someone else. All right. Let's say the other then. This is a rotten day. Everything's going against me. Come on. At least say it to yourself. At least say it to yourself. God is for you. No one is against you. I don't care who they are. They'll never get into God's court. It's already rigged. It's all set up. You're going to marry the judge's daughter, son. You're it. You're the bride. You're the bride. You're the bride. God is good. I hope you enjoyed Job. Job was a great book. You may think what I said was superficial. It's not. I've read the books on Job. They don't get it. They've missed it. This is powerful. It's a powerful statement. It's all about a court. It's all about who's the judge, who's the defendant, and who's the plaintiff. It's all about who's the witnesses, who's against you. There's no evidence against you. There's a lack of evidence. Zero. No one is there to accuse. Neither do I condemn you. Neither do I accuse you. Go and sin no more. Once you repent, it's over. Stop defending yourself. Jesus is the one that's going to decide your case. He already has. When he died on the cross, he decided your case. It's over. You will never be judged. When you stand before the judgment seat, it's going to be a piece of cake. You're just going to get a crown. Oh, you innocent. To the right, to the left. You know, he'll be directing people right and left. And the ones that have relaxed, rested on Jesus, relied their whole case on facts rather than on opinions, appearances. Our God doesn't judge by appearance. He judges with right judgment. It's done. I'm his beloved. Is that dangerous or what? To think like that. That's dangerous for a human being to say something certain. How can human beings be certain? I've heard of thee, but now I've seen thee with my own eye. I've seen thee with the seeing of the eye. I've experienced what I believed in this world. God, you've been good to me. And the more you say it, the more you see it. The more you say it, the more you see it. The more you say it, the more you see it. I tell you, when you wake up every day, say, this is a great day. This is going to be an awesome day. This is going to be just like a little kid. The little kids wake up in the morning. They're not depressed. They just wake up. You know, they're ready to go. Little kids are like that. Did you ever see little kids? They get up, they just bound right out. Mom! And they throw open the door. Get up! You know, it's like, close that door. No, Mom, come on! And they just come right up to you. And they'll come right up to your face. Mom, wake up! And you're like, just looking like this. You have bad breath. Little kids will say that. You know, they just tell on you. Gee, you stink. Little kids are funny. Aren't kids funny? I just made that up. Because little kids are fresh. They're not worried. They don't have to repent because they haven't sinned. You know why? Because they're not into that. They don't care about it. They're not caring about anything. Who are you then to care? Be carefree. Be not anxious. Jesus came to set the captive free. Hope you're blessed by these messages. I was. I loved these messages. They're great. I'm never going to forget them.
Was on in Oswald Chambers, and he was talking about the lust of vindication, and that just jumped out at me because I've been desiring so much to be vindicated, and I always wanted to defend myself and explain myself, and God allows me to get in situations where I better not do that.
Yeah.
I better just be quiet and let him do it.
Right.
And it's not easy. I came to church so mad today. I was just shaking.
Amen.
But I needed to hear what you said today just to
Good.
Remind me to
yeah.
keep defending myself.
Don't. Because then you bump him. He can't do anything if you're gabbing. We had a thing. I was in Austin the last 3 days. And we had a thing down there where they were trying to discipline one of the members. I can't tell you anything about it. But anyway, I was defending against that. I didn't want that to happen. I didn't want that to get in the papers or whatever else. But anyway, I lost. Completely lost. So I used up all my chips, all my political capital, spent, gone. You know, I came home defeated, deflated, but not inside, just on the outside. But here's the beauty of that, is that you don't have to defend yourself. This person's going to be accused. They're already accused. But They're not supposed to. See, and I was pointing that out. You've broken, you've already violated due process rights. And they didn't want to hear it. So they booed me down. They defeated me because I was going to show, forget the substance, whether the person's guilty. You violated her due process rights. First thing you have to do is take a rumor and do not come up with anything but facts, but you can't do it till the committee does that, and you're just voting on the committee now. The minute you discuss it, you've already ruined the case. You've already biased the evidence. And see, I was saying all this, and they hated it. You've already done it. You've already made an accusation, and you've already ruined this case. You're going to lose in court. You better hope she doesn't get a lawyer. Well, that's great, you see, because I'm not worried about it. I don't care. So I lost everything. I can recover. You know why? God's for me. I can recover. I had a lot of chips going for me. I was just about to, you know, make a big coup. I just threw it all away in a moment. When you stand on principle and you base everything on facts, you have nothing to worry about. I got a fact right here. God loves me. Jesus loves me. This I know. That's Job's story. Job was vindicated in the end. He's totally vindicated. You know what he said? He said, I'm a vile man and I repent. But his repentance was not, I won't sin anymore. Do you see what his repentance was? I'm going to relax from now on and let God be my defendant. I'm not going to defend myself anymore. Ha! Nobody discovered that. That's what that word means. Naham. Don't defend yourself. Stop giving answers to people. Stop trying to figure stuff out. Leave it alone. Drop it.